Hello. Yep. It's just Norm. I'm sorry you had to hear that hideous motorcycle noise. I find it just a bit obnoxious. However, I'm sure the motorcycle rider found it quite fun. So I'm just in a bit of traffic here. I'll be on a neighborhood street in just a moment. And for those of you who are listening that are aware of my alternative venue, aka the podcast Walk Breaks, then you will know that I am continuing that podcast on the Spreaker platform. In other words, I started recording this morning on Spreaker, and there is an episode that has been uploaded entitled Freedom Has the Scent. It's Saturday morning, and I started my run out about 2.5 to 3 miles ago with my earbuds plugged into my iPhone, directly recording an episode of Walk Breaks with the intention of finishing it off on Run Norman. You can tell the difference in the sound of the recording. The Sony Digital, it sounds quite a bit more raw, quite a bit more native, unfettered, natural. I won't say anything for quality. Quality doesn't matter in this. Device. I was looking for really a good word. I don't even know if I completed an adequate thought for you. But the quality is not the the paramount concern. The only portion of quality that's of concern is the lack of wind or arm swing. Anything past that is a success for me in my book. Now, what I did notice, and you will notice too, is when I use the iPhone and the earbuds for that and the inline mic, when it works, and it did work this morning, the quality is quite good. It really is. There are a few little tiny wisps slash gusts of wind, but overall, I played it back, and it sounded very reasonable, so I've published that for you. And I'd encourage you to go to Walk Breaks and listen to the first part of my run. If you don't, it won't be hard to follow me, because I'm not very linear or sequential or logical in my thought process. At least, I don't think so. So, anyway, a very wordy way. I've just told you I started to run about 2.5 miles ago, and I'm recording on a different venue, platform, as it were. So, wait a minute. Let me check something here. I'm using my... What is going on? All right, so I'm using my Gym Boss today. I don't have a... Let me clip this back up. You heard that, didn't you? That's okay, it's a tough little mugger, the Gym Boss. She's a drop, I picked her back up. So, anyway, I don't have my watch, my Garmin watch. I'm running with Runkeeper solely today. And I'm using a Gym Boss to set a 2-1 walk ratio. And that's working fine for me on this very muggy, very humid Florida morning. It has been raining here all week. And it's been very humid all week. But this is the tropics of Florida. It's what we come to expect. I am adjusting my pace and my walk break so that I can manage the miles. And it's fine. It's all good. I'm not yet yearning very hard for winter. Of course, I would like cooler temps. That goes without saying. But there comes a time during the summer when I start crying like a newborn about how hot it is. I'm not there yet. So, I've had a busy week, and I've covered some of that in the Walk Breaks episode. So let's pick it up from where I left you on that one. Monday saw the birth of my grandchild. Tuesday, during a very busy day at the Department of Veterans Affairs, where I proudly work and give care and medical treatment to those in need, and to which I enjoy doing that, I got a text message from the lovely 13-year-old Roselle, who said, "Mommy has some abdominal cramps." So I said, what's that about? So I texted back. No, I'm sorry, I didn't text back. I immediately called Mommy. So that's not like them to text me with something like that. Mind you, my wife is the kind of person... Morning. My wife is the kind of person who will lay in bed and suffer with a migraine rather than take any medicine for it. So, when she's a say that her tummy hurts, big daddy, she's a gonna listen, huh? So, I called my wife, who was crying, and said, "Oh, I've never felt any pain like this before." So I said to her, "Listen carefully. I'm calling Lola and Tata. Those are my common-law Philippine and Chamorro in-laws. And I said, I'm bringing them over. I'm sending them over to get you. And I'm sending them over to get you to take you to the emergency room. If you're telling me you've never had pain like this before and you're crying in agony, flat out, you need to go to the emergency room. No ifs, ands, or buts." And so, I called. I also texted back to Roselle for her to call, so we would be both calling them at the same time. Whoever gets through first gets them over there. And we both got through. They both came over immediately, and they took her to the emergency room. And just to give you a little background, it's important for you to know that these people, my in-laws, my family down here, those who love me and have accepted me with open arms, without judgment, with kindness and with grace, these are people who are not prone to running to the doctor like most in our society nowadays, there's a difference between those who go to the doctor all the time and are not in need versus those who have maybe those who are victims of sensory overload in these trying times versus those who don't go and are really in need of care. And mine would fall into the last category. So she needed to go. She did go. I'm glad she didn't put up a fight about that. And just to further paint the picture here, once she got there, I was, of course, leaving work and racing home safely. I kept the radio or any kind of media off and just silently drove with spiritual thoughts and concentration to be with my family. When I got there, I learned that she just came back from CAT scan. They gave her some medication to take away the pain, and she was in no discomfort at that time, or very little discomfort. I got there at about 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30, and it was almost 11 p.m. at night before we got out of the emergency room. And the reason for that was additional imaging tests . So, for a total of a CAT scan and a ultrasound with Doppler color flow, in other words, instrumentation that can tell if there is blood flow feeding into any abnormality. And in other words, what I'm trying to say is, if there's a tumor or a bump or a lump, and highly likely that blood flow would come into it. And you could say with some degree of certainty that it was indeed a tumor. Remember, imaging studies are not perfect. They give you an idea of an abnormality. They're not magic bullets. So, the two studies essentially identify a 4 to 5 centimeter mass, M-A-S-S. You can call a mass a lot of different things. In the medical community, it signifies different things. A mass can be a cyst, a mass could be a scar tissue, a mass could be a blood vessel. Sometimes, in my line of work, in GI, we do ultrasounds on the liver, and they show a mass, and it turns out to be what we call a hemangioma. And a hemangioma is nothing more than essentially what you would call a blood blister. You ever get a blood blister on your finger? Maybe you smack it between a hammer or two pieces of wood or something like that. And these can occur on the surface of the liver, and they are an entirely benign finding. So, we were faced with, at the end of our visit, with blood work, imaging complete, and the possibility of a mass, an unknown entity in the abdominal cavity, most likely sitting atop my wife's left ovary. The connotation that we got from the physician's assistant was that she had a mass and it needed follow-up to assure that it was not a malignancy, which is entirely reasonable. In an emergency room, the workup does not go into in-depth findings. It is a stabilization unit. People come in there with emergencies. They're stabilized. The cause is determined. And they are referred for follow-up care. And that's reasonable. Some people use the emergency room as their primary health care. And they expect $1 million workup to be done. And that's not reasonable. However, that's a conversation about the malady of medical health care in our country. Best served for another podcast. So as you can imagine, faced with the possibility that my wife had a mass in her abdomen and that it could be cancerous, there was both a heightened sense of fear, anxiety, angst, worry, and all those associated adjectives and adverbs that I'm looking for. But I think you get the picture. Outwardly, I expressed calm and confidence. Outwardly, my wife expressed calm and confidence. There was no freaking out on either one of our parts. However, I am not ashamed to tell you that inside of me, in my mind, in my heart, periodically, I was filled with great concern and great worry. Yep, I played out all the scenarios in my head, from meeting with the follow-up care provider, her OBGYN doctor, to imagining she needed surgery, to thank God, and God forbid this wasn't the case, death due to a malignancy. I even played in my mind the funeral. What would I tell my girls? How would I make them understand? How would we go on without her? If I'm honest, I'll tell you that that's the way I thought from time to time. That's human nature. There are those who have a belief in a higher power, as I do. And the sentiment or the wishes or the advice that one will often get are, there's someone in a higher power that's in control. Take all your worries to him. Don't be fearful, but just trust in him. And those kind of statements. And I employed that strategy quite a bit. And I was successful in employing that strategy quite a bit. But if I'm honest, and I'll bet if people were honest, I and they would tell you that you can't help as a human being but to switch over to those other dark, fearful thoughts. It's just impossible. Who will come out and say, yeah, I gave it to God, but you know, I was still worried. I don't see anybody saying that. But I am. I'm saying it. Not because I'm better than anybody, but just because I will share with you my most honest, my most innermost, my most darkest fears. I'm not afraid to do that, because I think such is the plight of the common man. We're frail. We wonder. We worry. If any say that they're not worried, then I either applaud their character or doubt their sincerity. Either way, I'm just saying. So, enough of that. Fast forward to the next day I spent gathering the imaging studies from the hospital in order to have them delivered to the doctor, for which we were given a very, very expeditious appointment on Thursday at 1:30. And he reviewed the films with us and talked with us and spent, I'm going to say he spent about 40 to 50 minutes with us. So very, very, very well-respected, calm, competent, learned, wise doctor who's been practicing for over 30 years. He delivered our baby. As I would like to call him, he's a calm, cool daddy. Anyway, he reviewed the films with us. And without being too much wordier, he gave us his impression that this was not, I repeat, this was not anything concerning for a malignancy. Okay, so mass now turned into cyst, ovarian cyst, which are very common in women. However, there is still reason for concern. These cysts can get up to anywhere, maybe 9 centimeters, 10. But what happens, if you can just bear with me and follow me for a moment, is think of human anatomy, okay? Women's reproductive organs include the innermost, the primary ones I'm talking about, the uterus, the two fallopian tubes that stem outward from the uterus, and at the very top, two egg-shaped apparati called ovaries. Well, the ovaries can develop a cyst, and a cyst is nothing more than a fluid-filled or maybe cellular debris-filled benign finding that can collect, kind of, again, like a blood blister, or a blister, if you will. But think about it sitting atop an organ. The fallopian tube is like a tube, and at the top is the ovary. So if there's a cyst on top of the ovary, it's like maybe a coconut tree, you know? Heavy coconuts may make the tree lean one way or the other. Well, that's what it does with the ovary and the fallopian tube. So picture the fallopian tube getting kinked, if you will, bending over. And that's what often causes the pain. Any blood vessel that's choked off or organ that's displaced has a visceral component that causes pain. So this was the case, and for some people, matter of fact, I have a buddy on Facebook. His name is Phil. I don't know if you listen, Phil. I know we've, you know, Facebooked back and forth. He's a runner up in Boston. Big-time family guy. He's got his career in EMS and fire services and all that kind of stuff. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Anyway, his wife was rushed to the emergency room just about the same day mine was for this very same thing. A ovarian cyst that caused torsion on the fallopian tube. I think she had to have emergency surgery. So yeah, it can be a serious thing, but again, in the grand scheme of things, we're not talking malignancy here. So, I lost my train of thought as I'm crossing traffic here. So, I'm taking quite an extended walk break too, can you tell? That's okay, I'm just trying to concentrate. I want to get back to running in a minute here. I think I'm at about 4 or 5 miles. Yeah, I don't have the Garmin to keep looking down at and seeing how many miles I got. Maybe today will truly be running by time, you know, a couple hours run. Anyway, the cyst is sitting atop the ovary. It can cause the need for surgery, where they have to go in and take out that ovary. The plan for my wife is watchful waiting. So they will do another ultrasound in 6 weeks, and most likely the doctor feels the cyst will do what's called reabsorbing. It will spontaneously resolve. And if that's not the case, if it seems to be getting bigger or if there's more pain, then surgery will be discussed. But the moral of the story is, my wife had pain, got her to the ER. They told us it was a mass. I was concerned for malignancy, and we found out that it's most likely not. And we will get appropriate follow-up care. That's a nice, concise summary of a very wordy, wordy dissertation on what happened. As you might imagine, quite a couple of days of hospital life and the joys and highs and lows of life itself, with a newborn coming on Monday, faced with somebody's, what I perceived, possible demise on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then a follow-up, my 80-year-old grandfather, not grandfather, father-in-law, we call him Tata. His name is Juan Cruz, and he is the kindest, gentlest soul you're just about ever going to meet. A man of great faith and wisdom. And he has had growing around his esophagus and his thyroid and windpipe a mass, which is indeed most likely a malignancy. However, malignancies are of different types and cellular composition. So, for example, if a biopsy shows moderately to poorly differentiated adenocarcinoma, that's pretty much a death sentence. If it's squamous cell, there's a lot of hope for treatment. So, Friday, he had a debulking of this mass and a tracheostomy created to help him breathe. And I visited him in the hospital after work, and he is doing fine and well. So it has indeed been the gamut of family, life, death, healthcare, not to mention spending almost all of my other waking hours working in a hospital delivering healthcare. Thus, I could not run or record. Now, second guessing myself, I definitely could have run, and I definitely could have recorded. But I could not find enough initiative. I found myself overwhelmed and burdened and thought it was just important enough to keep on moving through these situations with calm and maturity. It is getting very trafficy. I might have to stop this until I get to the trail. But it always sounds a little bit louder when I have the earbuds in. It may not even be that loud to you, but it sounds like the roar of tractor trailers as I'm recording now. But I've arrived here on Saturday, and I am in one piece. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, I am well. And those who I love and care for are well. I have freedom. Freedom in my heart and my soul right now. Freedom has a scent. Yeah, you knew I was going to try to make some dramatic correlation here. Freedom has a scent like the top of a newborn baby's head. So with love and joy and with calm, despite all the traffic that surrounds me, all the noise, all the clutter, all the beeps and bops of this world, this is a very serene, just norm. Simply wanting to share my week with you as I get back here, out on the road, doing what I love, freeing the spirit with the run. Okay. Love you guys. You know that. Bet money, if you bet it, that we're going to talk again. Bye-bye.